Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, last real good guy. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. Brian's the brain. Brian the brain McDonald.
Did you try to speed up there? Seems like there's a little.
Well,
bit of
I like to. I don't
keep
want
me on my toes.
Well, yeah, I don't want the defense to get a good jump on the ball. You know, I want to mix up my cadence. Every good quarterback does. 713-780.
I mean, competent ones too.
So I got called an F word, R word, a bit ago because of my. I didn't even say anything bad about C.J. Stroud. I said, "Am I being too critical that he isn't bringing up his decision making, throwing a ball away, taking a sack?" I said, "My bar is a Super Bowl." So I'm holding him to a higher standard. Do you think D'Amico has your attitude or mine? I think D'Amico has the same attitude that I have. Do you think D'Amico's holding C.J. Stroud to a high bar?
Yes.
So why shouldn't we?
We all should.
Why should? Do you want the Texans to go 10-7 and lose in the divisional round?
No.
Do you want the Houston Texans to go all the way and do something that this city has never seen from their NFL team?
Yes.
So that means we should all collectively hold our quarterback to a high bar, right?
He's also potentially going to get $60 million. He has to be held to a high standard.
Why can't we hold him to a high standard? Why are we, like, babying C.J. Stroud? Like, is he in the best quarterback environment in the NFL? We all know that he is not. Could C.J. Stroud make better decisions despite being in a bad-ish quarterback environment? Yes, I think we can all agree on that. Can C.J. Stroud get better being a young quarterback in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Yes, I think we can all agree on that. Does C.J. Stroud have to make better decisions than he's made in his first 3 years of the postseason in order for the Texans to reach their goals? We can all agree that yes is the answer. So why do we get so offended whenever people say, hey, we want more?
They're giant homers.
It's pathetic.
That's all it is. They're just giant homers. Like no matter what CJ does, he can do no wrong, which is the wrong way to look at it. It really is. Like if he's the guy holding back this franchise, why wouldn't you be critical of him?
And by all intents and purposes, he's having a great camp. Good. Yes. I want him to be having a great camp and not a bad camp.
This is the first time in 2 years that we've seen consistent reports of the offense having any level of success against the defense in camp. Like there's people like, oh yeah, they had a great session here, and then the Texans defense got it, but then the offense got it back. Like, that didn't happen the last 2 years. So yeah, it seems like they're having a good camp so far.
A lot of people on the text line, a lot of the junkies think that he said competent on purpose. So conclusion is that CJ's incompetent. His own head coach is saying it. D'Amico thinks he's dumb. I don't know if D'Amico thinks he's dumb. But he did say we want him to be more competent.
In his prep.
That came out of his mouth.
Yeah, in his prep.
I believe that it was a slip of the tongue.
Because competent...
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Because he talks about prep after. Being competent there does make sense, right?
Yeah, because confident in his prep doesn't.
Does he take coaching? Does he listen to coaching? I don't know those things.
Like,
I don't know those things.
If we take D'Amico for the exact words he said, competent in his prep, it's also kind of saying CJ's not working hard.
I don't know.
Let's remember, we did have that complaint, I think, after year one where he went on the podcast tour. People were pointing that out.
People didn't like the podcast tour.
I know.
I thought it was silly.
He was going over Japan with Micah Parsons.
And remember,
they're working out.
Casario said he's been here.
He did.
He looks good.
One of the best parts of the offseason.
It was his best offseason.
He's been here.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're trying to convince themselves he's a good quarterback. I don't know. I think it's more they're trying to convince the quarterback that he's a good quarterback.
Or us.
I don't think they care about us.
No, they don't care about
us.
Well,
they care about us enough to hope they can persuade us from stop asking the questions about his contract, maybe. By telling us over and over again that he's good.
Yeah. By saying that we're in negotiations. I think it's more trying to get the most out of the quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. That's 95%, but...
CJ bad worded the bed last year. The stars aligned last year for the Texans, and CJ blew it. I mean, CJ makes good decisions in New England game. I think they're in the Super Bowl. So glass half full, glass half empty. Where are you with CJ Stroud? Real quick before we do that, Kurt Warner, last one from this NFL Network thing. I thought he asked a great question to D'Amico Ryans. Mm-hmm. He asked D'Amico, he's like, how do you get CJ Stroud to, you know, walk the line of trying to light up the scoreboard, but also knowing that the Houston Texans have the best defense in the NFL, maybe?
You know, I never got to play with a great defense like that. So my mentality was always, we're going to win with offense. We're going to win with my right arm. Talk me into how you talk to CJ about that balance of, we want you to be aggressive because you can make every throw and you can win games for us. But also got this great defense and we don't want you to put us in harm's way. So how do you figure out that balance with, how do you talk him through that?
I wish we could put up as many points as you did back in the day. That would help the defense out as well. But understand it's a team game, right? Understand we do have a strength on our team. Our defense is very strong. They play really well. And I talked to CJ and tell him, you don't have to put it all on your shoulders, right? We're all here to help out together. We go win games together. It's not about just one person winning the game. We're here to help you. And he has a really good understanding of that now.
The last word there was interesting to me. He has a really good understanding of that now was interesting to me.
Because that goes back to the decision making.
I think so.
And prep and knowing just what's in front of you. And
that at one time he didn't have a good.
He knows that and, now, which implies that he didn't know yes. it before.
Well, and think back to last year too with CJ when he was asked about the was it Cam Newton comments. And he said, I'm a game changer.
Oh, yeah. He didn't like being called a game manager.
And so now maybe he understands, hey, it's okay to be a game manager.
A what kind of manager?
Game manager. Tom Brady was the best of the best. Game manager of all time. You're going to get me there now. I see
you're going to slip up eventually.
I see those
gonna
eyes. Get you. That's why we didn't use that song yesterday.
yeah, but I thought that last part was interesting. Yeah, he's, and I think it's a great question, too, because the Texans have an elite defense. The Texans had an average offense last year. And in the biggest game of the year, the offense let the defense down. Simple as that. 713-780-ESPN. Glass half full, glass half empty on Stroud. We'll get to our opinions on that a little bit later. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Carson, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's happening, Carson?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So my thoughts on Stroud, I'm kind of like a glass half full situation. I wasn't necessarily a big fan of the pick when they made it. But if you look at like his first year, I do believe he ran into a bit of interception luck, but really the biggest difference between what was a pretty successful year for him and these past 2 years has largely been the guys up front, that O-line, and especially this last season, you see he's kind of anticipating pressure. I think he's kind of overthinking, you know, again, pressure, getting sacked and whatnot. And I think that kind of threw off a lot of his decision-making. So while, yes, I think it's on Stroud a bit to have a good season and to step up, I think a lot of what his success is going to boil down to is, does he have confidence in the O-line? And if he builds that confidence up, then that should kind of make him more comfortable in making throws and kind of getting him back closer to the rookie year CJ that we saw. And again, I think he had some interception luck maybe that first year that kind of helped his numbers out a bit, his turnover ratio. But, I mean, you establish that line as a rookie, you shouldn't necessarily get worse from that point unless, again, you're not confident, you're overthinking things. So that's kind of where I stand is it's going to boil down to the front five, the O-line, more so than it is on CJ.
I feel like because
I agree with Carson.
I agree with Carson, but I think the problem with the offensive line is it goes beyond that. It goes into and it's between the ears. For CJ.
Look, CJ doesn't have a great offensive line. He hadn't had a great offensive line. Now, I think it's difficult to compare his rookie year to last year because it's two different schemes. Mm-hmm. Two different schemes. And it's a scheme where I think it was easier for Stroud in his rookie year than it was last year. And it's widely known. That's not just my opinion. Like, go ask every NFL head that exists what's easier for a quarterback, a West Coast scheme or the Urhart Perkins. And they're all going to say West Coast. And I think Kaley tries to implement a tad of both. I think he would ideally like to be a little bit more Urhart Perkins than West Coast. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that is going to take time. It is going to take time before you garner enough information and confidence and just familiarity to be able to run the offense. So I don't think last year was a great environment for the quarterback. I don't think the offensive line's a great environment for the quarterback. But whenever, like, all that fails and all that is over, like, Stroud has to make a good decision, right? Like, you can have the best offensive line in the world, and you still have to make a decision with the football. Now, is the decision easier because you have more time, your receivers have more time to separate, all of those things? Yes, of course, it is easier to make those decisions. But if you put an elite quarterback in C.J. Stroud's shoes, does that elite quarterback look better than C.J. Stroud looks?
Yes.
I would even venture to say that an above-average quarterback would look better in those situations than C.J. Stroud looked. Because what you'll hear is, like, we all forget that the Patriots' defensive line was great and was whooping up a Texans' offensive line. You're right. That absolutely happened. There is no argument for that. But C.J. Stroud, when it's time to make a decision, has to make a decision. And are those decisions good ones or are they bad ones? I'm not sitting here saying that C.J. Stroud should have thrown for 350 yards in that game and four touchdowns. I'm saying you shouldn't heave it up on a first down and 10 with a defender in his face when they have the lead.
No, you should not do that.
Take the sack, brother. I'm not saying you should throw a touchdown in all these adverse situations. I had a C.J. Stroud moment. Take it easy.
You hit the camera.
I mean,
that was what C.J. Stroud did. I think that was
a great representation.
Perfectly represented what C.J. Stroud did. C.J. Stroud.
If it was perfect C.J. Stroud, you probably would knock the camera over, to be honest. But
I can't get that interception that he threw.
The Marcus Jones one?
The first one. Yeah, the first one. The Marcus Jones interception.
Yeah, and it was abysmal.
It's first and 10. He rolls out. He's got a defender in his face. Like, okay, the environment just failed him there, right? Okay, that's a perfect example of the environment failed him. The environment was not good on that play. It was a terrible play call. C.J. Stroud rolls out. He looks up. He's got a defender right in front of him. Harrison Bryant falls on the play, who was probably trying to chip the rusher.
Yeah,
all of
cut
those
him
things.
Something, yeah.
So it's decision time. Okay, and the environment has failed. The play call was bad. The protection was bad. Harrison Bryant fell down. So now C.J. Stroud is facing a decision on first and 10, late in the second quarter, up by 3 points in your own territory. What do you do? I think every single person that's listening to us would say two things. They're either going to say to dirt it.
Dirt it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They might say try to throw it away, maybe three things, or even take the sack.
I think trying to throw it away is still a bad decision.
But it's not the worst decision.
Yeah, I know.
So what is the one thing you can do in decision time in this very moment?
Loft it up.
Which is what he did.
Heave it up 15 yards down the field when you're up by three, deep in your own territory, on first and 10.
Well, that's actually probably one of the biggest problems first and 10.
Like, that's what I can't get over. Like, everybody wants to tell me about the environment. You're right, the environment is bad. But when it's decision time for C.J. Stroud, he is making poor decisions. And this is why, not me. Like, don't listen to me. I'm just some random dude who played intramurals, brother. Don't listen to me. I'm telling you not to listen to me. I'm telling you to listen to the head coach who we pull audio from multiple times a week that is preaching he needs his quarterbacks to make better decisions. Don't listen to me. Listen to the coach of the football team. You don't need to listen to me. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm pointing out that the head coach of the Houston Texans, who wants the Texans to win a Super Bowl, something we all want to see in this city, wants his quarterbacks to make good decisions. You can tell me I'm an idiot all you want. You're right. But I'm not the one saying it. D'Amico said. Well done. Yeah, I needed that.
The thing with Carson brought up, too, and I agree, like, the environment's poor. But you're two of, like, the system, to me, that argument now goes out the window into year two. He should have control of it now. He should know it well enough.
But I'm tired of the system thing because it's just talking about making good decisions. Like, what does the system have to do with knowing in that situation you can't loft it up towards Marcus Jones?
No, but I think it's past that. I think it's not just the decision making. It's everything that goes around it. It's knowing the scheme better, the protection better, setting himself up for that protection. Like, the offensive line should be better this year, in theory.
Yeah, the environment around him should be better.
Yeah, so the environment is just not going to be as much of a crutch this year. So the people that are making that argument,
they'll still make it.
Okay, well,
but it
won't have as much value.
Yeah.
What I find so interesting is, like, and I know how great the defense is, but these people also then just, like, love Nick Caserio. So if you're going to be, like, if you're only going to blame the offensive line, isn't that the GM's fault at some point?
Sure.
Like, and like, it seems like no one wants to do that either.
I think
do. They want to blame. It feels like they want to blame everybody else. Like, the offensive line, not the guy who gets it. And then everything that goes wrong with the Texans.
I think Caserio takes blame for the offensive line.
He should. But I just, like, the environment shouldn't be an excuse anymore. Now, they can fire the offensive coordinator. You can say that again. Well, I guess we're just going to keep going in this cycle where a new OC comes in every 2 years while they pay C.J. Stroud.
I mean, those two OCs that have come in, though, have been, like, highly decorated. Like, I know they have never done it before.
They've never done it before, but they were good hires.
Whenever they were hired, they were, like, these highly acclaimed offensive coordinator candidates.
Yeah, now, like, have they panned out as good hires? TBD. I mean, Slowik, I think, is obviously a no on that one. We'll see.
Bud got another job.
He got another job right away. He still has a job in Miami. He's calling plays now.
Right.
Like
that's what I meant.
They're going to have opportunities elsewhere. Nick Caley, this isn't going to be the last time he calls plays. And I think a lot of times that can also be a very clear reflection of the quarterback. Is if it's not hard for another team to say, yeah, we trust Bobby Slowick to run our offense.
Yeah.
And that's other teams being like, yeah, we blame CJ for the problems there in Houston and the offensive line for the problems in Houston. Not the quarterback.
Yeah, the decision making is still the decision making though. Like, does the decision making become easier because the environment is better? Of course it does. You still got to make good decisions.
At some point, you have to overcome it. And if you can't overcome it,
and that's the NFL. Like
not
that's
everything's
going
to be perfect. Exactly. How many quarterbacks?
None in the NFL. None.
Like Mahomes got to a Super Bowl with an imperfect offensive line. He lost it. They rebuilt it. Burrow's got to a Super Bowl with a very bad offensive line. Yes, they didn't win it, but they still got there.
He's making good decisions in adverse situations.
Yeah, we're like, Josh Allen, it needs to be perfect. Lamar Jackson, it needs to be perfect. Like the majority of quarterbacks in the NFL, it needs to be closer to perfect than not. But also they can overcome poor things around them and excel past it.
Yeah.
Where CJ had the worst performance in the history of the NFL last year in the playoffs.
Really bad. Because of poor decisions. And it's not me saying it. It's the head coach of the Texans saying it. Did y'all already talk about Kasiri on the Rich Eisen show today? We will eventually, if not today, tomorrow. But yeah, our good friend, Rich Eisen, our dear friend, had the general manager of the Texans on. Brandon reminded me of the Office episode where Dwight gives a big speech and is banging on the podium. Yeah, I kind of lost my cool there a little bit. Running back stability is huge. Yes, that will make the quarterback environment better if the running game is better. There is no doubt about that. And that would be like the wishful thinking, the hope. Branham, you need a trip to Two Creeks Crossing, don't we all? Branham must have been hanging out at the bar with his high school coach before this broadcast. Don't I wish. CJ doesn't have it anymore. Get rid of him. See, I'm not to that extent. I think that's a little bit crazy. Stroud is dumb, bro. Quirky from life as goes on. The difference is a good quarterback makes up for a bad O-line like Burrow, your point, and Mahomes. Something I never hear get talked about is the amount of concussions Stroud has had. I've tried to be glass half full, but I think the concussion have done something with his timing ever since his rookie year. He anticipates pressure that's not there. He is broken. It's time to move on. Hashtag Baker Mayfield. I don't know if I would cite only the concussions there. Now, if you wanted to say it's conditioned, like he's been conditioned because he's been hit so much.
You could say it's part of the equation of why he doesn't trust his offensive line, why he's kind of jittery is because – those have happened, but even like the last concussion, he was running the ball.
Yeah, he was 10 yards downfield at the first down and like, for some reason cut right.
Yeah. I mean, I think the concussions are an under-discussed concern with CJ at this point. Like, I know Brian's brought this up before. Like, he's on the same trajectory as Tua before Tua
one
got
one more
paid.
We have those conversations.
Yeah, like it is a little nervous this season. If he gets another one, like, I definitely don't want to pay that guy. Honestly, probably no matter how good he is.
Fair.
Because it's just like, then what happens when he gets the next one?
Earhart Perkins is too wordy. I say call it the ERP offense. I like that. We'll do that. ERP.
Okay.
You like the ERP or the ERP?
I think I like the ERP.
ERP sounds like something you catch.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man, he got the ERP.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like the ERP.
I think I like the ERP.
I'll call it the ERP.
Why'd you break up with her? Oh, she has the ERP.
No thanks. I don't think the O-line has been that different in any of his 3 years. I think that's fair. No, I think they've been bad.
I think they've
Well, see, year one, it started really poorly, and then it proved.
Yeah.
Like, I think starting with that Steelers game, like, they figured it out. Like, I know this is weird to say, but Bobby Slowick made an adjustment.
That was
like,
year one, though.
Yeah, and the rest of the year, it was fine.
And then in year two, they started to do curls.
Year two, it was a train wreck.
And they didn't know how to handle a curl.
Yeah.
They couldn't handle stunts at all. Is today the return of Jose Jorge? No, you missed it. It was yesterday.
It's on the podcast.
Esta
Amor.
There you go. Here's a little sample. Would you rather have CJ at 60 or Mac Jones at 8? Probably Mac at 8.
Yes. Because then how could you spend
the I really don't like either option, if I'm being honest.
I just like the idea you could spend around Mac Jones.
Yeah.
For that little.
I think he'll get more than 8. Mac.
Probably.
Like, I think he's going to get, like, 20-something.
Yeah, I mean, if Davis Mills gets 7, I'd pay Mac considerably more than
that. I think he's going to get 20. I think somebody's going to pay him to be a starter. What did Malik Willis get this year? I think he'll get a Malik Willis contract.
Probably because, and honestly, he'll play this year, and he'll probably play well.
Malik got, like, 20, right? Wasn't it 3 years, 60?
I thought it was 20 million.
Yeah, I think it's like, 3 years, 60, something like that.
Mac will get a good chunk of change.
Somebody's going to sign him to be their starter next year. 3 years, 67. 45 guaranteed for Malik. Which under the radar fantasy guy I like a little bit.
I just don't like his weapons.
I just like his wheels.
Yeah, if he runs enough, it won't the passing targets won't matter.
But. I like his wheels. Hypothetically, if you replace CJ with Dak, would the Texans progress further?
Yes.
I think so. One more concussion and Stroud's going to get arrested for DWI while going to see grandma and grandpa. That's not cool. Throw him out of there. How dare you talk trash like that about
you
Tony Romo?
You are out of here.
Wait, why are you defending Tony Romo?
Okay. I think it's the first time we've heard that.
Right, pause that real quick. Another junkie, if I make it driving into my 60s, does that make me a better driver than Dale Earnhardt? You're gone.
You are out of here.
What were you saying?
I think that was our first and second ejection.
It was.
I know.
Well, I guess I wasn't here Monday.
I don't think we threw anybody out.
Okay.
I should have threw somebody out with stress since he wouldn't know what to do.
Should have thrown him out.
That gringo would have been like, La Chona? What is this? All right, 713. Blessing. 713-780-3776. Glass half full, glass half empty with CJ Stroud. You'll never believe who's glass half full on CJ. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Most people don't realize you can lease used vehicles. At D&M Leasing, they offer the ultimate used car leasing program, the Easy Lease. You can drive a high-quality, pre-owned vehicle with a much lower monthly payment than traditional financing with a used car Easy Lease at D&M. Everyone knows new vehicles take a huge depreciation hit right as they leave the lot, so let someone else take that initial hit for you, and you save big. Enjoy flexibility, lower costs, and upgrade to something newer every few years. Your dedicated D&M agent handles all the details, paperwork, and even home delivery. Discover a better way to drive. Used car leasing at D&M Leasing. Call D&M Leasing today at 713-290-1000. Visit them at dmautoleasing.com. That's 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com and tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Are you still doing rain music?
Yeah, this is Rain Song by Led Zeppelin.
Rain came through today. Did hit my house.
Have you fact-checked that, or are you just guessing?
I looked at the radar. I licked my finger and put it up into the sky. It told me.
No rain out there.
Jahmyr Gibbs paid 3 years, $75.75 million. $51.5 million guaranteed. Makes him the highest paid running back in NFL history. So Bijan does it, and then they gave him the framework, and then they signed Gibbs for $1 more. It was like the Price is Right.
Yeah,
everyone said that as soon as Bijan got paid.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, the Gibbs would sign.
I'll take that plus $1.
So the way the three contracts works out per year is Jonathan Taylor, $22 million, Bijan, $22.25 million, Gibbs, $22.5 million.
Annual,
yeah.
Yeah, you just knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, just a teeny little bit more.
Yeah. But it gets done, so no sweat there. There you go. It's done. Jahmyr Gibbs, Detroit Lion, highest paid running back of all time. We'll get a little bit more to the running backs in a little bit. I do have a take on that. Glass half full, glass half empty on C.J. Stroud. You'll never guess where the glass half full is. Mina Kimes is glass half full on C.J. Stroud. She was on the Bill Simmons podcast, whatever that thing's called. And here's Mina supporting C.J.
This is an easy one for me. C.J. Stroud, I think people have gotten way too low on. Mike Sando just put out his quarterback tiers, which is great. Everybody should check it out every year. He surveys, coaches around the league. Stroud was like 21, I think, below 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers. And if you go back to the regular season, and not only look, statistically, Stroud during the regular season was like a 9 through 12th ranked quarterback in most metrics.
Yeah.
But then if you really dig into it, his circumstances were atrocious. Zero run game. Offensive line was as bad as it's been. The offense was completely hamstrung by the lack of an offensive line. Injuries constantly. Skill players in the postseason. No Nico Collins. Play caller kind of still finding his legs. Young receivers. Kind of an incomplete group, missing tight end. So I just think he's gotten way too much flack.
Go. All right, so she's glass half full.
Very full.
Which she brings up good points. Like, if you're glass half full, I think she articulates that side of the argument very well.
Definitely. Like, the guy who tweeted at you earlier would love that clip.
Oh, yeah.
About it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, again, I agree with what she said. The running game was bad because Nick Chubb wasn't good. Joe Mixon might have shot himself in the foot. We have no idea what happened with him.
I think it was sepsis.
And Woody Marks was good at times, but it wasn't a great situation. Like, I thought the offensive line was slightly improved last year, but still bad.
Yeah, I think sometimes you lose the context, though. Like, she's absolutely right with all the things that she said. But even with that, with C.J. Stroud making good decisions, like, I ultimately always come back there for me, and it's hard for me. Now, I probably am glass half full because I do think that C.J. Stroud can improve, get better. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last year at any point, quite frankly. I think it was rock bottom. So I am actually, it might surprise people, I am glass half full on C.J. I think he can figure it out. Now, do I think that he can reach the heights that I once thought he could reach after his rookie year? That's probably where I would stop short of.
Yeah, see, I'm glass half empty. Like, I would love for her, Mina Kimes, to at some point explain what metrics he was 9 through 12 in, because I don't feel like I ever saw that as a quarterback last year. Like, so maybe the metrics did say that, but I don't feel like I ever saw a quarterback.
Yeah, the only times where he really lit it up were against the Ravens, who had nobody healthy, and against the Niners, who had nobody healthy.
How do y'all like Mina?
Yeah,
I do.
Overall.
Yeah. I like Mina overall.
Some of her takes a little weird, but
I think she gets very computery.
Yes.
I think she gets very statistical and very analytical.
Yeah, I think she does.
Which I'm not huge on that stuff with football. Like, to me, football is like, you know,
she relies on the numbers heavily.
Yeah, that's what I don't like about, you know, some of her arguments, is that it's too analytical.
Yeah, it's like it's because, like, that's why, like, I've struggled with Pro Football Focus. Not just that their grading system, I think, has gotten worse over the years, but that you can twist and turn Pro Football Focus to make your argument C.J. Stroud was top 9 to 12 in categories. That could be like turnover ratio,
right?
She's referencing, right? So, like, I don't like that of just using raw numbers. My eyes tell me, and that's plenty good enough for me, that he was never a top 9 to 12 quarterback in the NFL last season. I'm definitely more glass half empty.
Okay.
That I'm worried that the playoff mess and turnover proneness is going to continue for him at this point, that he is not going to be able to fix that.
All right. Were you glass half full? Glass half, bless you. Glass half full, glass half empty.
I was trying to get through that sentence.
You did well. If Jeremy hadn't said anything, I think he would have gotten away with it. But I think I find myself more in the glass half empty, just because, like, you can fix the scenario around them, right? They've changed play callers for them. They've drafted wide receivers for them. They've brought in, like, a whole new cast of offensive linemen. But if he still makes poor decisions, then none of it matters. And I haven't seen anything to suggest that's going to magically turn itself around. Maybe it's not completely his fault. Maybe he had that beat into him where, not to make the David Carr comparison, but David Carr just had to beat out of him whatever talent he had. Like, I don't know if that's correctable. So I'm more on the glass half empty.
And I also think, too, if the contract – you're so mean.
What just happened?
You said glaff.
Twice.
I said glaff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I let it go.
He said it first.
I was being a gentleman.
He started laughing.
Okay. So I'm the most optimistic when it comes to C.J. Stroud on this
show. I do think if quarterbacks got
paid. I'm
going to
start telling people that. Whenever, like, you're too critical of C.J.
What makes you half
pro C.J. Stroud? Because I believe in his talent. I think that C.J. Stroud, when he throws the football, can be very, very good. The stuff that disturbs me or makes me question Stroud is actually everything before he throws the ball. Whenever he throws the ball, I like his chances. He's really good at placing the football. His decision making is what it's not. See, it's not his accuracy. It's not where he puts the ball. It's his throw decisions.
Agreed.
It's like his ability to read the defense. It's everything, like pre-snap penalties. D'Amico's still talking about. Not that it's going on now. Something that they need to correct. So it's everything before C.J. Stroud throws the football. If they can ever get C.J. Stroud to, like, do everything right at the point of throwing the football, I think he's going to have a season like he had in his rookie year. Now, how do they get there? I don't know if you get there in this offense. The environment will help. I don't love the fact that in the ERP it's harder on the quarterback. I don't think that's beneficial for C.J.
Yeah, just
so it's tough.
I agree with your point though. Once
Maybe it's Kaylee. Like, okay, I realize that I can't do that with C.J. So let's be a little bit more West Coasty than ERP and put Stroud in better situations to have success, where you're making the decisions easier for him as opposed to harder for him. And hopefully it's just Stroud with a lot of, like, you know, self-accountability, like, okay, that was stupid of me. I hope to never do that again. Because, I mean, we're all there, right? We all make stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, well, that was stupid. I'm not going to do that again. So maybe it's just wishful thinking that Stroud will have that self-accountability, be able to put it to practice, and correct some of those mistakes. Because he's still a very young quarterback that is super talented.
He is. I just – all the environment stuff, I just – it's not improved enough for me to feel glass half full.
See, I think the environment's
I think it's better, but it's just
I think
not
it has
enough.
The chance. I think it has a chance of being way better. I think it has a chance of being way better. Like, Keelan Rutledge is your starting center, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's even a camp battle anymore.
No, we didn't talk. Like, obviously, I think we all talked about him taking down Aziz, but apparently got into it with Danielle Hunter the other day,
love
too.
That.
I love. I mean, he embodies Swarm.
And not that he's, like, winning the job because of that, but if you just go listen to, like, them talk about the offensive line, they're, like, glowing about
Keelan
Rutledge.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Keelan Rutledge is your starting center. Like, that job has been won.
Let's get after it, dude. Let's put some dudes in the dirt, man.
It's not even a cam battle anymore. So, like, that's an upgrade because the incumbent center is back. Mm-hmm. So you've upgraded at center.
In theory, you're going to upgrade at left guard.
In theory, you're going to upgrade at left guard. Right guard's the same. Right tackle should be better.
Yes.
And then Ursary should be better than he was in his rookie year. So you might be better at every single position on the offensive line. Like, we're painting, like, the most optimistic viewpoint here, right?
Even at least
you have a running game this year, and you did not last year.
And your offensive line might be only improved in the run game.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, again, like, Pro Football Focus, like, that's where those guys graded out well at, is in the run game. But that's such a step in the right direction. If they can run the ball better, the red zone problems from last year go away, the short yardage situations go away, and that just elevates everybody.
Yes.
And frankly, like, if they're not going three and out because they can get 1 yard on a dive with David Montgomery,
yeah,
in a way it's going to make you be like, oh, well, like, this offense with C.J. Stroud and Nick Caley is more confident this
and,
year.
And look, I think that Stroud, like, has... Stroud hasn't been a poor decision maker all the time. It's usually against the better defenses. So, like, can you improve there? Maybe that's more optimistic, wishful thinking. Home foot advantage is critical, right? Mm-hmm. So you could be better at every spot of the offensive line. You're way better in the running back room. David Montgomery better than Nick Chubb. Woody Marks in year two should be greater than Woody Marks in year one. Everybody's favorite Jawar Jordan should be better a year older. Nico Collins is still Nico Collins, so that's an apple to apple. Jaden Higgins. Year two is going to be better than Jaden Higgins in year one, and people are raving about Jaden Higgins. Jalen Noll in year two should be better than Jalen Noll in year one. Now, it stinks that Jalen Noll's got a broken finger. Thank you for that information, Mark Vandermeer, because he's not on the practice field. Whatever Tank gets you this year is better than no Tank Dell at all. And then who knows behind that? Xavier Hutchinson's probably the same guy. Justin Watson was hurt last year. Is he even on this team? Is Lewis Bond going to do anything for you? Dalton Schultz is Dalton Schultz. And then you have depth at tight end this year. You had none of it last year. So you can make the case that the quarterback environment is going to be way better. But it could also fall short and just be a little bit better.
Well, and like one thing like that Mika Kimes brought up was health. I mean, to be honest, like, you can't really rely on Nico for the whole season.
Or Tank.
You know Nico's going to miss games. He misses games every year. Just to something. So
at least two.
Yeah, so you have to have some kind of being able to overcome that, and you just hope it comes with structure, like you play like the Titans this year. And that's – but again, that's stuff that you have to be able to overcome as a quarterback. It's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if he can.
It's fair. That's why this year is going to be very important for C.J. Stroud. Glass is overflowing with excuses. As a junkie, my whiskey glass is half empty. Who is C.J. Stroud? Signed, Jeff Bagwell. I need some of whatever's in Mina's glass. She strikes me as a wino. She's good at Jeopardy, though. She won that Celebrity Jeopardy.
Twice.
She won it twice?
Yeah, she
won. Celebrity All-Stars.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. Have you watched the Sports Jeopardy?
Not yet, no.
It's out.
Who's hosting it?
Joe Buck.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder if Fernando Tatis is watching.
Is it on Prime?
I think it's on Hulu.
Okay.
I thought it was Netflix, so.
Well, the Celebrity Jeopardy was on Netflix.
Oh, okay. That's so why that's, I thought that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, that was Hulu.
I watched about 3/4 of that.
Pop Culture Jeopardy was on Netflix.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
The one with Colin Jost? Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty funny.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Playoffs were so bad because it is the opposite we have seen from him. Seems like a fluke. See, I don't think it's the opposite of what we've seen from him. I think it's what we see from him against really good defenses. When will we quit making excuses for CJ after he's not good again this year? We're not making excuses for CJ. We're being called out for making excuses. So you have to ask other people. Rocky says my glaff is all the way. I think B-Mac's flask is half full. Stroud does not have the confidence I used to think he had. I think that's why they're coddling him. When the guy throws the ball, does he stay Steve-Reich or don't intercept in a nerd voice? It has to suck to be a quarterback in the NFL. Media-wise, I'm sure CJ knows he has to improve to get paid, and he has to hear us every day in season and out about how he plays, good or bad.
That's the reality of being a quarterback.
Yeah. This is one more from Stroud with Kurt Warner, and then we'll get to the NFL stuff. This is Kurt asked him, like, what he learned from the Patriots game last year, and this is the answer that I do not like.
Yeah, I mean, I just think system things, working, with the O-line on protections, pocket movement, throwing on the run was a big one for that game. So those are all things I attacked in the offseason and, got to go back to L.A. with my trainers and really, go hard on it. And I really didn't take a break. So right after the game, I probably took like a day off and I flew home and they came and got right back to work.
I don't love how he didn't say, like, hey,
good decision making.
Got to be better with the ball.
Yeah.
Kind of like blame the offensive line and blame the scheme. I didn't love that.
Yeah.
I didn't love that.
Didn't mention the 9 turnovers in 2 games.
I didn't love that. Well, the offensive line sucked and the plays were bad. I didn't love that. Didn't love that from CJ.
No, it's not like a ringing endorsement of anything.
Yeah, it's just like, is he looking at the wrong stuff? Is he not listening to his coaches? I don't know.
Well, hopefully that's changed.
Yeah, because if you ask the question, does he get it? That answer doesn't really make it seem like he gets it.
I know. That's what I'm fearful of. Didn't like that answer at all. All right, so I love that NFL running backs are being paid. Jahmyr Gibbs paid, Jonathan Taylor paid. I mentioned this earlier in the show. There's a coach who got me fired up. 30 seconds of this coach, and I'm already going to bet the over on this team without even looking at the over. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You know what else gets me fired up? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. What I like to do whenever I watch bad quarterback play is I like to go out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It just brings my mind to ease. I can ground out there. I can really get back in touch with myself. I can explore 92 acres of property. I can do some fishing on the Two Creeks. I can kayak on the Two Creeks. Maybe I want to play some pickleball out there. But there's so much to do. Open green spaces, wildlife, just Mother Nature the way that it was intended to be. Get on out there whenever you just need to get away. And it's not that far away either. It's 90 minutes, so you're getting the most out of your time. Some people take like their PTO, like, hey, I'm going to take a week off this week. And they're taking 2 days to travel. They're driving 16 hours away. Don't do that. That's foolish. Just 90 minutes from Houston, you're there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to be having a good old time in no time. And they got all the stays. If you have an RV, we'll pull up the RV. They have a treehouse, waterfront cabins, glamping. You're going to love your stay, whatever stay that it might be. And Two Creeks Crossing Resort, they believe in Southern hospitality. They always take care of their visitors, whether it's live music, food trucks, whether it's some weekend activities. Like this week, they have a back-to-school bash. That sounds like a lot of fun. Later this month, they're going to have a neon night float on that lazy river there at the new water park. It's been open a few months now. I guess I shouldn't say new water park. Blue Bayou Bend. Everybody loves Blue Bayou Bend. You're going to love it too. Book your stay out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to love it. Family's going to love it. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
And while I blow, I see blue eyes cry. Rain.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Not bad.
I knew.
Not bad. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. So Jahmyr Gibbs paid.
Here's my number.
Right. That was a weird contrast of music there.
It was a really weird mix of
music. Yeah, like this is like super.
I don't think it's ever been done
country.
Before. No. We're groundbreakers.
And then Carly Rae.
Yeah.
Some people like to mix in Houston too, like Chopped and Screwed. That was Brian's version of Chopped and Screwed.
Yeah.
His old school country song, and then Carly Rae, a little call me maybe. Or text as well, 713-780-3776. But Jonathan Taylor, 2-year, $44 million extension worth up to $47 million, includes $39 million guaranteed. Jahmyr Gibbs got paid moments ago as well. And what I love when running backs get paid, because I think they're grossly underpaid, actually.
They are.
You look at the top running backs in the NFL, and then you go look at just comparable to receivers in the NFL. It's like, how are these receivers making more money than these running backs? And we get it. You know, running backs, they hit a wall faster, they fall off a cliff faster, the workload, you know, it's a grueling position. It takes a great toll on the body. But these running backs are starting to wisen up, I think, because instead of asking for like these 5-year deals, it's like, okay, well, we understand that you don't want to pay us long term because we do fall off the cliff. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to need. We'll do the short term. We'll take you off the hook with a long term contract, but you better start paying us a very, very yearly APY. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see that with running backs. I think it's very smart. I love when running backs get paid. And we've seen 3 running backs paid. Did Bijan sign yesterday or 2 days ago?
Like 2 days ago.
Days are running together. So 3 running backs in the last 3 days, mm-hmm. getting a lot of money. And I'm actually happy to see it.
No, I think this is a great contract decision. It's like it took 3 years. But do you remember back in, I was trying to find the year, 2023? When there was the report that, like, Christian McCaffrey and Josh Jacobs and all these guys.
Yeah, the Zoom meeting.
They got together on a Zoom meeting to discuss how bad all the contracts were. This is what they should have done then. This is what all those guys should have done. Jonathan Taylor, all those guys of shorter-term deals, bigger AAV, and be paid like the wide receivers are paid. They all wanted long-term contracts. They were never going to get it. They finally get it. Like, they finally get it. And it's like, you've got all these running backs now that are making $30-plus million a year guaranteed. Running backs are back.
Running backs are back. I think they deserve it too. Like, these running backs are not these dudes who just run between the tackles anymore. Like, Jonathan Taylor doesn't catch a ton of passes, but Jahmyr Gibbs is going to catch. He's going to flirt with 100 catches.
Yeah,
Bijan Robinson can flirt with 100 catches. Christian McCaffrey sometimes, like, what do you have, like 120?
I think
almost
he's over
100
last year.
Like, the other year. Like, these guys help in every area of the game. They're dual threats.
I mean, and they're the best players on their rosters most of the time. Saquon, Bijan, Gibbs, McCaffrey, Achan, Derrick Henry. Like, they're the best skill position players on their teams, and they just weren't paid like it. And it's about time that they are. And, like, this is how all organizations should handle the running back, because if you get a gem, you pay him early. Do you think this has if this is going to be a trend, does this change anything with the draft? Of like, okay, now I can draft a guy high.
I mean, they already have. I mean, look at Jinty and Love the last 2 years.
But
I think they have to be
two.
I think they have to be dual threat guys.
They'll have to be dual threat guys.
You have to help them in the receiving game too.
Because then it's like an 8-year commitment now of the 5 years plus the 3.
Yep.
If that's what everyone's going to be doing now, a running back can be good for.
No, I've been on it for a couple of years where I think drafting a running back in the first round's all right.
Yeah, because if you don't want to pay him, you still get him for 5 years. Yep. That fifth year, you can run him into the dirt.
Yep.
If you're going to let them walk.
You get them in their best years.
Or you can give them a short-term contract and still get them in their prime.
I think it has to be more of a luxury to pick, though, than a necessity
pick.
Yeah,
like what the Cardinals and the Raiders did, probably not wise. What the Seahawks did this year with Price, that's wise.
And they also got him super late.
Yeah, they got him 32.
Yeah, like that was pretty wise, I agree. Now, one thing where the running backs could do, if they wanted to really maximize their dollar, is just go to free agency. And just, here you go. We're going to take the highest APY, like – highest APY, highest guarantee. Because somebody in free agency would just get stupid. Like, we have $60 million to spend in free agency this year, and it could bring up those numbers more than they already are. So, like, them signing with their teams that they're already on probably isn't maximizing the dollar APY if they just went to free agency and took the biggest offer.
Yeah, I think these
guys, risky.
It is risky because, I mean, and not that Breece Hall and Achan are in this conversation, but they both hit free agency or were about to hit free agency this year and got $30 million a year combined. Between the two of them, it was 16 for Achan, 14.5 for Breece Hall. But again, they're not in that category, but they're in the next grouping of running backs. And these guys got significantly more. So,
like, I think these guys would have gotten more if they went to free agency.
Yeah, Bijan would have for sure.
If they stay healthy and they hit free agency, they would have gotten more money. Now, the risk and the guarantee of that is very, very dangerous.
Well, that's why I think it's wise to do what they did now instead of hitting free agency. Like, yes, they could have gotten more, but they're running backs. What if Bijan tears his ACL the first week of the season? How does that affect? He's not getting $22 million a year.
I think he still would.
You think so?
I think so.
See, I wonder if he would still
maybe
be scared
Achilles.
They're running backs.
I don't know. Like, still, I think the ACL is not as bad. Maybe Achilles.
Yeah, Achilles is kind of a
maybe Achilles
death sentence. It feels like.
So yesterday we played this clip from this Buffalo Bill offensive lineman, and I'm out on Buffalo after hearing this.
The vibe with Coach Brady is young and fresh, I think. You know, I think he's coming in with this this young energy, just like a different insight. It's kind of like having your uncle come over, and he's a little bit younger than the older brother, and you know you're just going to have a good time. He's single, not that Joe Brady's single, but like you know you're going to be able to go out, get some ice cream, really do stuff that your parents wouldn't really allow you to do, and I think that's kind of the fun aspect that we're going to have. I think he's embracing everybody exactly for who they are and what they want to be, and I think that's going to drive the team a lot.
I think it eliminates them from Super Bowl contendership. This is the kindergartners picking their kindergarten teacher. I'm out on Buffalo as a Super Bowl contender. Now, I am in on this team.
I think I know it.
To hit their over. Well, I mean, it literally says the coach's name, and it says the city, Joe. So, yeah.
Well, if you haven't read it, Joe, do you want to take a guess?
I haven't read it yet. Is it the Raiders?
No.
Oh, okay.
You haven't read it.
Joe didn't look at the rundown.
You didn't look at the rundown.
Not that detailed, I guess.
No, it's not the the Raiders.
I just exposed myself.
No, it's not the Raiders. This is look, whenever I say I'm in on this team, I'm not in on them to make the playoffs. I don't even know their over under, but I'm in on them hitting their over. I believe that this team, the Cleveland Browns and Todd Monken, are going to hit the over because I'm fired up after this video.
Someone mentioned something to me, something about being crazy. You bet your pinky. We ought to be crazy. Crazy about fucking winning. That's what we ought to be crazy about, right? About how we play, how every single day we bring. We ought to be. I'd rather be fucking crazy and out of my mind fighting to win and leave it out here, and somehow medical people got to come out and resuscitate. They're going to fight my f*** off to win. And just, everything's okay. It's okay to be casual. It's okay to get out and then be a fucking loser. And ain't that ain't me. And that's not going to be us.
Injected in my veins. I'm in on Todd Monken.
Five and a half,
by the way. I'm in on Todd. He's not trying to win you over the speech. He's trying to get his football team to play their absolute best, and he's going to. Cleveland's going to hit their over on their
five and a half this year.
Five and a half is their wins?
Five and a half is the over-under I found.
Oh, I thought you were great in a speech.
No.
Oh, 10
yeah,
speech.
They're going to win at least six games.
Yeah.
I'm making the bet right now.
I just can't do it.
I'm making the bet right now.
Should we have a show bet?
Even better.
Yeah.
I'll take the over 5.5. On this speech alone. They have no quarterback play.
So Joe and I have the under?
They got a perverted quarterback and a Nepo baby backing them up. They got a 5'7 midget that's their third string quarterback. They have no quarterback play, but Todd Monken doesn't need it.
Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Todd Monken doesn't need it. Todd Munkin's gonna get that team to six wins on grit and will alone.
All right, what's our bet?
Six win. I don't know. We want to do a little
drink bet?
Yeah, but let's make a parameter on the bet. What is the bet? What is the drink?
I'm asking.
Whatever you want.
Jack, because that's the complaint that you're getting short of.
Mixed drink bet.
Mixed drink bet. Okay, cool.
All right, that's fine by me. So who am I making this with?
Both of us
versus you.
I'm putting up two for two. Okay, fine. Two drinks. But if I lose this bet, I'm paying one of y'all one day and one of y'all the next day.
That's okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
We're not going to ask you paying on one day.
No, I was kidding. Yeah, I'm in. Six wins for the Cleveland Browns. All right. Six all wins. They're going to go 3-3 in the division.
I don't know, man. I could see the team just tuning that out.
No way. You think Deshaun Watson's not in now? Toes down?
I don't think he's ten toes down.
Deshaun Watson heard that and booked a masseuse right away.
Like, now, I will say this, and you'll immediately go, well, they made an NFC Championship game. But we were all laughing at Dan Campbell when he had the bite the kneecaps line.
Yeah, look how much they bought in.
So that is definitely the argument against what
The Cleveland Browns are about to they're finally
going to
be coached
up. Quarterback of that football team.
They're about to be coached up. We're going to be looking at Cleveland at the end of the year. Man, how did they win eight games?
With the oldest coach in the NFL.
How did they get seven wins on the year? I'm going to be
seven
back.
Now.
Over 5.5.
All right.
Over 5.5 for Cleveland. I'm fired up. I wish I was a Brown fan. No, I don't.
That would be the worst thing
I
ever.
I won't go that far. What are the weirdest things adults do that they shouldn't? This was the Brian went to the Harry Potter the other night and dressed as Harry.
Not true.
What are the weirdest things adults do that they shouldn't? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.